Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of God, the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. So, I want to share a different text for preaching this morning. Let me give you a little bit of background before we jump into it. This past June, our synod passed a resolution inviting congregations to begin engaging issues of mental health and substance abuse with an idea that we could become the kind of people who really show Jesus' love, grace, and mercy to all, right? Like we just talked about with the kids. So we pulled together a task force in September. Open invitation. Anyone who wanted to be involved was invited to come, and about a dozen people showed up. And that first night around the table, I just asked a simple question. What drew you here? What's your name and what drew you here? And there was incredible vulnerability, openness, and honesty around that table among a group of people who didn't know one another. People who said, "Well, I've got a family member who committed suicide," or a partner in business who committed suicide. I have family members who wrestle with addiction issues. People that were very open and honest. And as we talked together, one of the things they were really clear about in that first meeting was they didn't want to just get together monthly and talk about issues. They wanted to do something. They wanted to do something here in the midst of Trinity. And this last Wednesday, the first piece of Do Something happened. We had a worship service that focused all on mental health and substance abuse. And after worship, we had a presenter, member of the congregation, Dr. Melissa Hinke, who is the medical director at HeartView, among a number of other things as well. So that's a bit of background. Before we jump into the text. So this is from the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." So a preamble to this sermon, two things that I think that you should know before I jump into talking about issues of mental health and substance abuse and how I see them connecting with this text. I consider my mental health to be stable. But I do have family members who wrestle with deep issues of depression and suicidal ideation. I have family members who have been in locked psychiatric units. A number of them, it's the adult consequences of childhood sexual trauma. It's the truth. So while mental health
issues don't directly affect me. They affect me because mental health issues affect an entire family. When it comes to issues of substance abuse, I am happy, lucky, fortunate to say that it's not an issue that I wrestle with. And I say lucky or fortunate, one of the things that Dr. Henke told us on Wednesday night in the midst of her presentation is that she often sits with individuals who are in treatment and she says to them, I'm on this side of the desk and you're on that side of the desk, and it would be easy enough that these chairs were flipped. But for the grace of God, I am where I am, she said. Anyone could be in your chair. Within my life, I am not certain what happened, but at a young age, I don't know if it was someone that I ran into. I don't know if it was when I was a reporter and I saw something at a conference, but at a young age, I realized that I have a personality that has addictive traits. And that becoming addicted to alcohol or other things like gambling could be awfully easy. And so I've been extremely cautious. But for the grace of God, as Dr. Henke said. But within my family tree, there is plenty of alcoholism. And I would say that at part of the extended tree, some people have died early, probably because of their abuse of alcohol. I have extended family members whose kids have wound up in prison because of substance abuse. And I know the ripple effect that goes into families. A preamble so that you understand where I am in the midst of my family tree and how it is all affected, and we are together in the midst of this. So we begin to think about issues of substance abuse and mental health, and wondering whether or not the gospel has anything to say into the midst of it. And I wanted to think about how is the best way to think about this. I've told you before, I'm really a visual person. And part of what hit me was that a great way to begin to think about us is a backpack. This represents you as a human being, each of us as human beings. We are basically a container that is filled up with both nature and nurture, all sorts of things that make us who we are. So if you think about nature, there are certain things that you can't change. They just are what they are. They're the pieces that you were born with. You were born either as a man or a woman, and that goes into your backpack. You were born a certain ethnicity. Some Scandinavian, some German, some Native American, some just keep filling it all in. Can't change that. It is what it is. You were born with a certain set of DNA that might predispose you to certain things. That's all nature. There's a lot more. We could keep putting container after container after container in there. But there's also nurture. Where you grew up. What kind of family was it that you grew up in? Was it the kind of family who showed you great love and compassion or not? There are the experiences that you've had. Have you been able to travel and see other parts of the country or the world or experience it through documentaries and reading, seeing that everything is not the way it is in Bismarck, North Dakota, around the world, and that people live very different lives? All of this makes up who you are. This is you. This is you. But here's the bottom line. What identifies you is not your experiences, not what you were born with. At the very heart and at the very core, you are identified as beloved child of God, splashed in these waters once upon a time in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And splashed in those waters, you gained an identity. And that identity is beloved. That is your basic identity. And this becomes really important when you're dealing with issues of mental health or substance abuse, because a diagnosis or an addiction does not define you. It's part of you, but it doesn't define you. Your basic definition, your basic identity is beloved. Hold that. Know that. Keep that. So think about our texts this day. This text of a Jesus who says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens." The truth is, life is not fair. It's not. Really stinky things happen to people. Some people get more than their share of them, and it's not because they deserve it. That's just the way the cards fall sometimes. And in the midst of that, Jesus comes into the world, and he looks at those around him, and he says, "Come to me, all you who are heavy burdened. Take part of my yoke, and together we will get through this." Now, when I think of a yoke, my mind goes to Little House on the Prairie. And I think of a couple of big oxen and a large wooden yoke that goes across two oxen, and they are shouldering an equal amount of that load. But I think that when we think about Jesus' yoke, we might be able to get a different vision. Not just Jesus and me in this yoke together, but what if this yoke where I'm at is also filled with a whole community of other people that are willing in Jesus' name to help me carry this burden as well? Whatever the burden is, but today as we think about mental health issues and substance abuse, what if together we were all in that yoke? Not just leaving that one who has mental health issues or addiction issues to be shouldering it alone, even with the Savior. What if the community wrapped around them and moved with them as well? And with their families. Because the truth is, it is the entire family system that feels the impact. There is a text from Romans, Romans chapter 8. Go to about verse 24 or so and start picking up and reading after that. Paul says to the Romans, "Is there anything that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord?" And then he goes through a whole list of things that the world might think would be able to separate us. Affliction, and persecution, and famine, and all of these things. And in the end, Paul comes to an emphatic no. Absolutely nothing can separate us from the love in Christ Jesus. Nothing. In other words, nothing can separate us from that identity that is given to us in the baptismal font to carry with us, even if you're a family member who is extremely frustrated about what is or what has happened in the past with your loved one. Nothing can separate us from the love in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Wednesday night after worship, Dr. Henke spent about 20 minutes talking with About 110 people stuck around after worship to hear her presentation. And it really, really was phenomenal. The place that she dug in was an issue of stigma and compassion. And she took the word stigma, took it back to its Greek roots, and what it means is to be marked. And then she threw a picture up on the screen of a six-pointed star in gold. You know what that star means. It was the marking for Jewish people during World War II. And the next thing that she put up was a tattooed forearm, another marking of Jewish people in World War II. And she said, this is what stigma does. It sets people outside the community. It makes them the other. It makes them less than human. And then she showed a diagram of how stigma keeps an individual in a cycle, she didn't use the word, but I will, of despair, where they can't break out of the mental health issue or the addictions. They continue to be trapped in this never-ending circle because the community has set them outside. She said, what breaks that is compassion, showing deep love, care, and concern. Wrapping our love around the others. She said one of the ways that that falls into our midst in a community like this is whether we will show deep compassion and care or if we'll gossip. Here's the example, the difference that she said. If a person says, oh my goodness, can you believe it? Margie's son, he's in treatment again. Versus, Margie's son is in treatment. We should be praying for him. Join me. Do you see the difference? It's a community that shows compassion and care. It is the heart of the gospel. It is a gospel that is not contained to a book that's over 2,000 years old. It is a gospel that is a living word that floats into our lives today for the sake of healing and wholeness of people around us. The dream of the Mental Health and Substance Abuse Task Force is that Trinity would become the kind of place where we would openly talk about these issues and we would support one another because people would know when they are open and honest, what they will be shown is compassion. And so together, brothers and sisters in Christ, we pray, Lord, let it be so. Thanks be to God. Amen.